Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Cale Boer. I'm the teaching pastor at the Delaware campus. This past Sunday, I got the privilege of being down at our Plain City campus, which was a joy for me to be there. But we were in week two of our series that we're calling Uncommon Crown, and we were looking at the genealogy in Matthew chapter 1, which I'm sure all of us have read and memorized. But as we walked through that genealogy, one of the things that really the main thing that I was highlighting was the fact that what I called the absurdity of this genealogy, that Matthew highlights intentionally really some embarrassing episodes in the history of Israel, and also against custom includes five women in Jesus's genealogy. It was typical at that time to usually just include the men, but he includes five women in that genealogy who also in their stories have some pretty hard pasts and difficult stories and moments. Three of them are outsiders. Three of them are non-Israelites. And so you go through the story and you get things like Judah and Tamar. Tamar was one of the five women mentioned, and that story is some great things happen out of it, but it's really pretty cringeworthy. I mean, when you read it, he talks about Bathsheba and David, and that episode where David murders a guy, has a guy murdered so he can steal Bathsheba, his wife, and he actually calls Bathsheba, not Bathsheba, he calls her the wife of Uriah, just to sort of reinforce the point that she was someone else's wife. He mentions Mary, of course, who was pregnant, right, most likely as a teenager before she's married. And of course, we know that's because of the miraculous birth of Christ and the Holy Spirit's activity. But, you know, still, she would have had to deal with that sort of within their culture. So he mentions he talks about Rahab, the prostitute who lived at Jericho, who gave her life to the Lord and professed faith, but also was an outsider. He talks about Ruth, who was a Moabite woman, a wonderful woman of faith, but also an outsider to Israel. And then he mentions a lot of guys in there, and their stories are all messy and terrible kings who are horrible kings in Israel. And even some of the guys that we look at and say, oh, those are the heroes of the faith. Of course, he mentions David, but he also highlights that episode with Uriah's wife, with Bathsheba. He mentions Abraham, but we also know that, you know, Abraham had moments in his life that where he lied and put his wife in danger to protect himself. And so you look through this genealogy, and the reason I say the absurdity of the genealogy is just because, again, instead of trying to clean up the background of Christ, instead of trying to clean up the family lineage and present this kind of filtered, wonderful picture, right? I talked about how that's typical on social media, is that you present the best version of yourself. You present this polished, filtered picture, photo, whatever, right? This version of yourself that's clean and squeaky. I mean, Matthew lays it all out in proclaiming the Son of God and pronouncing, here's the king. He lays out, here's the mess of a lineage from which this king came. And it's so different than what we would expect. In fact, I'm reading a book right now, a history of the Middle Ages. And I see this a lot throughout that book, is that people would write histories in the Middle Ages and in late antiquity and early modern history. I mean, they would write histories of kings and they would present them as just perfect. They never made any mistakes, and their parents were awesome, and that person's parents' were awesome. And they were just, they did everything right. They present these glowing pictures of these leaders, and that's not true. This person had flaws. And yet here, Matthew's presenting the flawless one, the perfect one, but he shows us the very imperfect people from which this king comes. And you wonder why. Why does he go out of his way to present such an unfiltered, warts and all genealogy, lineage of Christ? And I think for multiple reasons, but one of those being to show us the truth of what Jesus said later, that he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost, to remind us. I talked about a myth, right, that we sometimes believe, that Jesus came for good Christian people with good Christian backgrounds, right? That Jesus came for the good people. That's who the gospel is for. And I said, that's a myth, right? The truth is that the gospel is for all people in all times, in all places. And the truth is that Jesus came to save a bunch of messed up sinners. And if he came from that line and he came to save people like that, and we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but the free gift is life and forgiveness and justification in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The reality is, right, you look through the scriptures, you see a lot of messed up people that God saves and he uses them even in spite of their failures. And the same is true for you and me. You are not too far gone. The people in your life that you maybe look and you just shake your head and say, why are you doing that? They're not too far gone. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, the broken, those with messed up pasts and sin in their lives, if we will humble ourselves and turn from him and trust him with our life. It's a powerful, you can't get past Matthew 1 and still think, yep, Jesus came for the good people. No, Jesus came for the broken and the lost, and it's the wonder of grace. Let me pray for you, and then I want to encourage you to take a moment and just pray for yourself. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you so loved us that while we were still sinners, in our brokenness, in the midst of the mess, you sent Jesus, your son. And we celebrate that here at Christmas time. We thank you for your love and for your grace, and that you use us, Father, even in the midst, in spite of and through our mess. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take some time now to pray for yourself.